there's precipitation now here in Bangor, on Broadway and Bangor.
Some light snow, a little bit of wintry mix out there.
It's in no way at all connected to the arrival of our guests in the studio, the lovely and talented Jen Brooks joining us on the program.
Having some mic issues.
Can you hear me now? I think you can.
That sounds like you're bucking for another job with a line like that.
Oh, maybe. You never know.
You're right. The precipitation we're experiencing outside, in no way related to your arrival here at the station.
I feel like we talk about it all the time, though, don't we?
Well, it's like whenever you show up, it's either really, really nice out or, not so much.
Pretty gross.
Yeah.
You never show up when it's just kind of meh.
Well, you know.
That's a good thing.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah, nobody wants to be associated with meh.
I'd rather be sunshine, though. Mm.
Well, that day, too, shall come. Jen, we're talking about the Maine at Work. The state has seen a significant decrease in its unemployment rate, and that's a great thing. Mm-hmm. But it creates a situation where, with a limited labor pool, connecting job seekers with employers becomes, a significant issue that needs to be addressed.
Right. When we're out visiting with businesses, we often hear that they are having trouble finding that right employee or don't know where to start in finding that right employee. And so I think this initiative, the Maine at Work initiative, really helps direct employers to that one place that they can get all of the information or at least be connected to the organizations that can help them.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the agencies that are partnered up on this. In addition to EMDC, you've got the Central and Western Maine Workforce Development Board. You got the Coastal Counties Workforce, the Career Centers, of course, Aroostook County Action Program, on and on and on. And, the state of Maine, Maine Department of Labor, joining us on the telephone for this conversation as well. Julie Rabinowitz from Maine's Department of Labor. Julie, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Just how significant an issue is this from the point of view of Maine's DOL, the ongoing need to be able to make these appropriate connections between job seekers and employers?
Well, it's really critical at this point, and I think it's really part of changing people's understanding of Maine, which used to be a state where we had more people than jobs for decades. And now we're a state with more jobs than people. And so part of it is matching employers, helping them find where those pools of workers are who are underemployed or who are kind of in untapped labor pools. But it's also making sure that our employees have the right skill set so they're the most productive they can be. So an employer can use fewer workers going forward because those workers have more sophisticated skills in terms of technology. And it could be in manufacturing, running, you know, computerized manufacturing equipment. It can be in healthcare. It's all across many different sectors. And so this initiative, as Jen described, is really about having a one point of contact for all these different workforce partners and then leveraging all the funding streams that we have from federal and state dollars as well as local resources and perhaps money from the business to make sure that we can get workers trained to fill these jobs.
Because the challenges that job seekers face already are fairly significant. But that's a double-edged coin there. Certainly those who are looking to employ have a number of different issues that they face as they dive into that that effort to fill a position. There are programs that are in place here to help with job training, for example, to help with a placement. Maybe it's to help with tuition for some sort of a retraining program. But this that we're talking about today, Maine at Work, that's really sort of the umbrella, isn't it? The one-stop shopping approach for making these connections.
Right. And we learned a lot through our very successful Hire a Vet campaign that we've done for the past 2 years.
Yep.
In that we've brought in that campaign, we brought together several different veterans organizations, each that have a different expertise in maybe dealing with the veterans' family or active military who are deployed and helping their spouse and family. So all kinds of different resources and leveraging them, but having one point of contact and then matching that veteran with the right services that they need. And we've used that exact same model here for Maine at Work, so that there's one point of contact. And I think EMDC and the work that they do, and when Jen comes on the radio and brings on an employer and talks about how they used on-the-job training and a wage subsidy to help take a worker who was an entry-level worker and maybe was earning minimum wage, and by the time they completed the on-the-job training, they got a raise, they had a certification, and that employer was really pleased with that employee, and that employee was happy because they got a raise and more marketable skills. Doing those kinds of connections, hearing about it on the radio, I might not be in EMDC's territory, because a lot of these workforce agencies cover different counties, and you need to be in that county to access that particular service.
Sure.
But people don't know can get the exact same service. They just have to go to their county's service provider or their county's career center. So rather than say, if you live in this town, you need to go here, we just said, let's give them one point of contact, give it a name, and let's market it so that people just say, I need some training help. I don't know where to go. And then it may be, you know, because we don't provide the training itself,
right,
unless it's resume skills or interviewing skills or kind of what we call the soft skills. We partner with adult ed, the community colleges, the university systems, private training providers, or in the private colleges, all kinds of different places to go to create that training. And it could be at the work site. It could be that the worker is paid to take time off during the workday to go to training. It could be apprenticeship. It could be competitive skills. We could subsidize childcare. There's so many different pieces. And it's really about talking to the employer, recruiting job seekers, matching them with the right kinds of training, and finding out what resources can fund and what those job seekers need. And it reduces the risk that a job seeker might have when they think about, oh, I got to go to school, I got to get child care, how am I going to do this? And then they just go, I can't deal with it, I'm not going to do it. We want to make that whole process easier for the job seeker and know that they have supports out there that they may qualify for, and then also help the employer.
That's the voice of Julie Rabinowitz from Maine's Department of Labor. She's here along with Jen Brooks from the Eastern Maine Development Corporation talking about the Maine at Work initiative. Julie, obviously there is some cost involved here. How are you going about funding this effort? I mean, nothing could be more important, really, than connecting workers with jobs. And you mentioned that that disparity between the number of jobs, which is now greater than the number of available workers that we have. So how are you going about funding this effort?
So really, it's funding streams that we mostly already have in place, or grants that we receive from the federal government to target specific job training or unemployment-related issues. There's different things that we get called national emergency grants. They've actually changed the name. And they may be tied to a mill closure, or they may be tied to our unemployment rate. We may get a grant specific for veterans. We may get a grant specific to like trade funding specific to mill closures. So different individuals may qualify for different types of these funding streams. And we used to focus on the funding stream and the people who qualified. And now what we're really trying to do is say, look, we just want job seekers. We want people who want to work and are interested in upgrading their skill set. And we're not going to tell you what industry you have to go in. We're going to recommend high-demand industries, because that's where the job growth is. But what we're going to do, and what we do, and a good example of this is some CNA trainings that we've done. We do a recruitment. We bring in people. We make sure that they're qualified to enter that profession. You know, they have the the, you know, if you're going into a medical field, do you have the reading skills and the math skills? And then we match streams with the pool of candidates. And if we have some people for whom they don't qualify for some of those job training dollars, that's where the employer steps in. And when we create these partnerships, we just graduated 8 CNAs in for the Lakewood Continuing Care in Waterville a couple weeks ago. And the employer may step in and put in money to cover the training so that we can run a class for CNAs with 8 or 10 candidates or 12 candidates, and we cover the costs of all of them between all those funding sources and the employer or an industry association. And then those workers are guaranteed jobs as long as they pass the course.
Jen Brooks, EMDC, I know that you're hearing these sort of questions and concerns from business owners and organizations that you're involved with at EMDC. It's got to be nice to know that there's this sort of a unified program now that can assist.
Right. I think it's important to note that we, EMDC, isn't doing anything different than what we've been talking about for a long time.
Right.
Where, you know, connect with us and we'll make sure that the resources are available to you as your business needs change. And this really does it on a statewide level, making sure that those connections are available to every business throughout the state. So when you hear about something going on, you just need to remember the Maine at Work initiative.
Yeah, it's a wonderful simplification, and it looks like it's already paying substantial dividends for employers in a number of different locations around the state. We'll put a link up on the Facebook page for the Pulse AM 620, such that people can find more information about this directly from Maine's Department of Labor. Julie Rabinowitz, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being available.
Thank you very much. Anytime.
And Jen Brooks, you know, the current precipitation notwithstanding, we thank you for your time this morning. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.